It's time now for Bible Talk. Join our hosts, Gary Gibbs and John Bradshaw, speakers for the Amazing Facts Ministry, as they now open the Bible and discuss themes that affect your life today. Stay tuned, because the next 15 minutes will deepen your understanding of God's Word.
Hi, friends, and welcome again to Bible Talk, where we talk about what the Bible has to say to us today. I'm John Bradshaw, and with me is Gary Gibbs. Hi, Gary.
Hi, John. It's good to see you today. I wanted to say hi in another language because we are talking about tongues and what the Bible has to say about tongues.
I got to say, I know that for many people, this is an emotive topic. This is even an emotional subject, because for a lot of people, the gift of tongues, or claiming the gift of tongues, represents for them proof that they're saved. For some, without this special sign, without this special gift, they can kiss salvation goodbye.
Well, John, I think that's really true. I've met a lot of people who feel like this, and I've had people ask me, are you saved? And I'll say, yes, I have the assurance of salvation in Christ, and they'll follow it up immediately with, well, do you have the gift of tongues?
Meaning or indicating then that with or without this gift, salvation does or does not occur.
Oh boy, if I say, no, you know, I've not been blessed with that gift yet, their countenance falls, and it's like they need to work on me to help me get into the kingdom, because I'm really not saved.
I was holding a Bible study seminar at one time, and we had a lovely lady attending who told me she was 38 years old. She'd been in church all her life. Now, I didn't know her heart, but she appeared to live a pretty good life, and she sure appeared to love the Lord. And we spoke together about salvation, and she said, well, John, I know that I am not saved. Now, she's almost 40 years old, been in church all her life, believes she is not saved. I said, why? She said, because I don't have this gift of tongues. I said, have you given your heart to Jesus? Yes. You love the Lord? Yes. You repented? Yes. But still, she couldn't believe she was saved.
So, John, let me ask you a question then. When the Bible presents people being saved in the New Testament church, especially in the book of Acts, for instance, you find that every time they're saved, every time that they're baptized and they give their lives to the Lord, it looks like every time that they're immediately given the gift of tongues. Now, isn't that evidence that they're saved?
That's an overstatement on the part of many. We can know that the disciples were saved people while they were in the upper room, even though the Holy Spirit had not been poured out on them. To suggest that a person is only saved once the Spirit falls and once they speak in tongues, that is, that's biblically incorrect. There are a multitude of people in the book of Acts who were saved, but we have no record of them speaking in tongues at all, ever, in any way, shape, or form. So to overreach and say everyone saved spoke in tongues is a statement that just isn't correct.
But John, that is what I'm hearing in many churches, and a lot of people are teaching that, and surely these pastors can't be wrong.
Surely my pastor couldn't be wrong.
Not at all. Men of God.
How many times have we heard that? Listen, I say surely the Bible can't be wrong. There are so many different variations and versions. We know that not everybody out there is right. But in Bible Talk, we talk about the Bible and find out what the Bible says.
But John, if I'm saved, I receive the Spirit of God. That is super clear in the Scriptures.
That's absolutely true.
Why don't I speak in tongues? I need some evidence that I am saved by the Spirit. What's that evidence?
Well, listen, there's two things I want to get to here. One of them is that, sure, God gives you the Holy Spirit, but He may manifest that in a variety of ways. Don't forget that. We'll come back to that.
Okay.
The Bible says there is real evidence that you've been saved and that the Holy Spirit is at work in your life. You want to find out what that is?
I would, because if it's not the gift of tongues, a lot of people are wondering, what is it then?
The Bible says when the Holy Spirit comes into your life, you will manifest and demonstrate the fruit of the Spirit. You will receive gifts, no doubt about it, but it could be one of many gifts.
So the gifts are different than the fruit.
You better believe it. We'll read here about the fruits of the Spirit in Galatians 5. It says, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such, there's no law.
So the fruit, everybody sounds like to me, they need to have it, because everybody needs to have love, joy, peace, and all that.
Got to have the fruit of the Spirit. There's your evidence right there.
Have you ever met an angry Christian?
I'd have to confess that too many times I've been an angry Christian.
I've met Christians that you wonder if they're really Christians because they don't have the fruit of the Spirit.
You know, and that's right. When these things manifest in your life, you've got to say, wow, where is my connection with God? Did I remember to include him in my life today?
But that would be different than the gifts, because you might not always exercise all the gifts or even any one gift 24 hours a day. But 24 hours a day, we should have the fruit of the Spirit.
Jesus said, by their fruits you will know them. Mm-hmm. He didn't say by their gifts. By their fruits. Just because someone does this or that or appears to manifest gifts. Listen, some people came to Jesus and they said, Lord, didn't we do great things? Cast out demons. These are acts that can only be done by the Holy Spirit in a genuine form.
I hope, John, that our listeners, as they hear you explain this, I hope somebody is getting peace. I remember a lady I visited with, similar to a lady that you just mentioned. She didn't have any peace because she didn't have the gift of tongues. And when I showed her the difference between fruits and gifts, you could just see a visible change of her countenance. Peace came over her, and she said, that gives me so much peace, because she did have the fruits of the Spirit.
Absolutely. The Bible says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God.
So, John, let me ask you a question then, because this seems to be implied in a lot of teaching that I've heard. Doesn't everyone who's saved get the gift of tongues?
Okay, everyone who's saved has got to have the fruit, but as for the gifts, that might differ.
Well, show that to me. I mean, we all have gifts, because I've read that in Acts 2. It says you'll be baptized and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So everybody gets gifts. Don't they all get the gifts of tongues as well as the fruit of the Spirit?
The Bible answers that very, very, very clearly. Let me say, if you want to know about gift of tongues, take your Bible and read. There are two key chapters, 1 Corinthians 14. We covered that last time on Bible Talk.
Mm-hmm.
And 1 Corinthians 12. And if you read this, the Bible talks too specifically for you to be confused about. Are you ready here?
Where are we going today?
1 Corinthians chapter 12. And we'll pick it up in verse 4. Why did you read that?
Okay. It says, now there are diversities of gifts, different types of gifts,
right,
but the same Spirit.
Verse 5.
And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord.
Okay, how about verse 6?
And there are diversities of operations, but it's the same God which worketh all and in all.
Okay. Now verse 7 says, the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man, every woman, every person to profit withal. That means you get the gifts of the Spirit so that everybody might profit.
So we're not cookie-cutter Christians here.
No, that's
right. Not everybody's going to look alike, because it says there are differences of gifts, administrations, and operations, but it's the same God working behind.
Yeah, I say thank God that He allows us to be individuals. He allows us to be unique, and He gives us gifts that are tailored to us, and we don't all have to have the same gift.
Okay, I understand that.
You see, we see in verse 8, how about you read verse 8 and just go through this very clearly, because this makes it so clear that no one gift is the proof that you're saved.
For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom.
So one has wisdom.
Okay. To another, the word of knowledge by the same Spirit.
Same Spirit, different gift.
To another, faith by the same Spirit.
All right.
To another, the gifts of healing by the same Spirit.
Sure.
To another, the working of miracles.
So here's a bunch of different gifts. In fact, it goes on to list, and I want you to work through this list for a purpose.
To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, diverse kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues.
Okay, so you see there's different gifts to different people, and you'll notice that the gift of tongues that some people believe is the be-all and end-all comes way down near the bottom of the list. I don't think it means that it's less important, but it sure doesn't mean it's preeminent.
Well, later on, it does talk about the gift of tongues and the orders. Isn't there a hierarchy of gifts? Aren't some gifts more important than others? Because Paul makes a point in chapters 13 and 14 of 1 Corinthians, desire love. You should follow after love, number one,
mm-hmm,
and then prophesying. So it sounds like prophecy is more important than some of the other gifts.
Well, that may be so. You know, perhaps in this thing, Paul really is just saying there's one gift that under your circumstances, it would be more beneficial than this other thing. I want to read verse 11 of chapter 12.
Okay.
He says, all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit. Read the rest of the verse, would you mind?
Dividing or giving to every man severally as he wills.
As who will?
As the Spirit chooses.
Means the Spirit decides what gift you should have, right?
That's obvious there.
So when the preacher comes to you and says, you've got to have the gift of tongues, is that biblical? No, the Holy Spirit comes and decides, right?
That's very clear.
Sure. So let God decide, and should God choose to give you that gift, praise His name, and if He doesn't, praise Him anyhow. Further in the chapter, we come down to verse 28.
It says this, and God has set some. So God's doing this. That's your point you've been making.
Absolutely. God decides what gift you get and be happy with whatever you get.
God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets.
All right.
Thirdly, teachers. After that, miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, governments, diversities of tongues.
At the bottom of the stack. Again, I wouldn't say that means it's insignificant, but if it was the gift of all gifts, it'd be way out in front, wouldn't it?
You know, John, I think that's a really important point, because when I first became a Christian, I was told, if you're going to be a bona fide, certified Christian, you have to speak in tongues. And yet when I read this, I discovered it wasn't the certification love is, according to the context here.
Absolutely.
And tongues is actually one of the least gifts, and Paul says that, in fact, in 1 Corinthians 14.
You're exactly right. Verse 29 makes this very clear, that no one gift is the hallmark of salvation. It says, are all apostles?
No, they're not.
Okay. Are all prophets?
Obviously not.
All right, I'm not a prophet, and as far as I know, you're not a prophet. Are all teachers?
Definitely not.
Not everyone is given that gift
of
teaching. I've
heard some people who thought they were teachers and they were not.
Or to be somewhere doing something else, right? Okay. Are all workers of miracles?
No, they're not.
Clearly not. Okay. Have all the gifts of healing, verse 30.
No?
No, all right. Then it says, do all speak with tongues?
And here's where some people would say, yes, they should.
Right, that'd be way out of step with the flow of Scripture. And then it says, do all interpret? No, the answer is no. Covet earnestly the best gifts, yet show I unto you a more excellent way. And then, as you said, he goes on to recommend love for absolutely everybody.
So this emphasis on tongues that some people place is really an overemphasis, and we could even say, in many cases, it may be an unbiblical emphasis.
Unbiblical and unhealthy. Listen, people have been led to believe they're not saved because they don't have this gift. But friend, you can know you are saved if you know and love and have fallen in love with Jesus Christ.
That really is the true evidence of salvation, a love experience that leads us to trust and obey Him.
God wants you to have that relationship with His dear Son, and we recommend that to you today also. Wish we had more time, but we're out. Be sure to join Gary and me next time for more here on Bible Talk. If you'd like more information on what we've been studying today, we have a comprehensive Bible study guide we'd love to share with you that's absolutely free. This study includes many of the texts we've just discussed and expands on the subject, including information you'll want to know. To receive this free informative Bible study guide, simply call, write, or email and ask for BT128, Speaking in Tongues. The toll-free number is 866-BIBLE-SAYS. That's 866-242-5372. You can write to us at Bible Talk, P.O. Box 1058, Roseville, California 95678, or email us at BibleTalk@lifetalk.net. Bible Talk has been produced in association with Amazing Facts in the studios of Life Talk Radio.